All right. How are we doing tonight? Just good?
Great.
You're on your way to heaven, you're doing great. First of all, I want to ask everybody to just lift Gary up in your prayers. Got a little issue, and I think God can heal it before he even gets to the doctor. So let's go ahead and pray for him right quick, and then we'll get into the sermon. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift Gary up right now. We ask you just to touch his body. Father God, you are the great physician. I ask you just to move in a mighty way, Father God. Lord, touch his body, heal his body, give him comfort. Lord, Father God, we just love you and praise you. And we thank you in advance for all the things that you have done so far, Father God, and the things that you will do in the future. Father God, we love you and we praise you. It's your holy name we pray. Amen. I didn't ask permission for that. Just going on the wing. If he gets mad, tell him I'm sorry. Tonight we're going to be, our text will be out of Romans 12, 9 through 11. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. This week, I kind of had a challenge. It's the first time I've had to put a Sunday school lesson together and a sermon. And I was a little worried about transposing both. And as long as I stick to the notes, I'll probably be all right. My plan going in was to make one long Sunday school lesson that turned into a sermon, but that wasn't God's plan. God's plan is always the best anyway. As Christians, we're called to love. That can be a hard thing. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. I know because I've seen myself and a lot of people struggle with it. In 1 John 4 and 8, it says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I ask you just to be with us tonight. Lord, bless the word that has been read, Father God. Lord, help to lodge it in our hearts and our minds so we may move forward throughout the week and glorifying you, Father God, or raising you up, Father, as the great example, Father. Lord, I ask you just to be with us and guide us as we go through this evening. Bless this time. It's your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. The world does not show love. It does its best to grow hate. That is one of the devil's tools. Satan wants to keep us apart. He plants seed of sin in our loneliness. There is enough hatred in this world. We as Christians do not need to be adding to it. You know, I see this stuff every day working. I go to work and I see people hating people. If you watch the news, it's people hating people. You know, everybody wants to be equal. Everybody wants to be the same. Everybody wants to be accepted. But they hate the other side that's not doing it. So what good is it? What good are they doing to be accepted if they can't get along and not hate the people that don't think the way that they think? It's pretty sad that the world that we live in is struggling. You know, there is no love in the world. And we as Christians, we're called to be that love, to show love. In 1 John 3:15, it says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Wow, when I read that today, I was like man, that's pretty impacting. Do you hate someone tonight? Because it says right there, if you hate someone tonight, you're not going to heaven. You can come to all the services you want. You can pray all you want. But if you're hating someone and you're a murderer, you're not going to make it. You're not going to hit the mark. It's okay to hate sin, but it's not okay to hate the sinner. That's hard sometimes. It's hard to separate. Because when you see someone doing something, you get enraged, especially when they're attacking your God. You want to fight back. You want to prove them wrong. And the sad part is when we do that, sometimes it comes across as we are not hating what they're doing, but hating who they are. So as Christians, we're called to be a whole other animal. We're supposed to show love in every aspect of our life. It says in John 15 and 12, this is in red, so you know who said it. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, the way that my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, loved me, he went to the cross and died for me. And that's a pretty high mark to hit. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to try really, really hard. It's not going to be an easy thing to do. It's not going to be something that I'm just going to wake up and be that person. It's an ongoing process. We have to learn. Have you ever had someone in your life that's hard to love? We all have at some point, and I'm sure you thought of that person as soon as I asked you the question. You know what? That person that you have a hard time loving, God loves them. God loves them as much as he loves you. So it's our job to try to put those things to the side and love them with all your might. Matter of fact, I've learned in my Christian walk, I do it at work all the time. I love them to death. I just keep showing them love, and it keeps driving them nuts. They don't understand it, and I just keep doing it. The reason they don't understand it is because they're in the world, and they don't know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. They don't understand why I am the way that I am. Most of it's good. Some of it's good. Maybe a little bit. But we need to struggle at getting better before we can be good. And we need to be in God's Word doing what God's called us to do in every step of our life. We need to try to maintain that mark. We got to hit that mark every single day. Because every time we don't, it's another failure. And it's another opportunity for someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, point their finger at us and say, Christian. How many Christians have you seen that ruin their title with their attitude? And our text just says to abhor or hate evil. That's pretty easy. Unless it's the evil that's our secret sin, or the thing that we struggle with, or that one thing that we don't want to just let go. We see other evil, other people's evil, and it's a whole lot easier to hate. You can hate someone else's evil, but it's hard to hate our own. We're called to hate the evil, but not the person that is doing these things. And we need to make sure that we set the benchmark for them to see the things that we hate. And don't group them in with the hate. Make sure that they know that you don't hate who they are, but what they're doing. It's okay. It's okay to say it, as long as you come across the right way. You got to show love in everything you do and say. When you say something to somebody about trying to make them, about them being better, and you don't do it in love, it's a waste of breath. You're wasting your time and their time. Because if it's not in love, then they're not going to listen to you. One of the ways Satan tries to destroy the church is by spreading hatred in the church. If you don't love someone, you hate them. God didn't say to like them. He didn't say to put up with them. He didn't say to deal with it. He said to love them. And what's the opposite of love? It's
pretty tough, ain't it? Opposite of love is hate. If you're not loving people, then you're hating people. If you're not showing them God's word and teaching them and showing them how a Christian should act and how the Christian should love one another, then you're showing hatred to that person. You're not building them up spiritually. You're tearing them down. You're attacking them. And there's enough attack in this world. We get attacked enough. We don't need to be attacked in the world too. It's easy to hate. It's hard to love. So which one do you think is more important? When you love someone, you're going against the current of this world. When you hate, you're flowing downstream and you don't even see the rapids that are coming that are going to destroy your life or theirs. I thought about that when I was doing my studies, and it's crazy to think how easy it is with one action, without even thinking about it, you can hurt you and your family and your church. Who was yelling at somebody about being parked in the middle of the road out here on the way home? Get off the road, train people. I bet someone said that once or twice. I know I heard it. You know, it's things like that, you know. When someone's different than us, it's easy to not accept the way that they are, even the trained people. If you're a trained person and you like them, I apologize. But I was raised in Rochelle around trains, and I don't. One of the best ways to show and defeat evil is with brotherly affection. I've seen how brothers show affection. Tim and Kevin, and that's not what I'm talking about. In our family, a kick in the shin is the same as I love you. A punch in the arm is a hug. We understand the way that we show love. Don't do this to non-believers. They won't get it. They won't understand it. Good morning. They just won't get it. Sometimes you feel like doing that, but they won't get it. The kind of love I'm talking about is going to cost you. It's going to cost you something. It will cost you time, comfort, and energy. True love is when you give of yourself. People nowadays are selfish, and they want but won't give back. Well, that's something that I really have to strive at, is showing love. And it's kind of hard for me. I'll be real honest with you. It's not the easiest thing. It's a man thing, I think. If you're a man and you can show love, then you rock. But it's tough. I want you to show love. I want you to make an effort. Jesus didn't say he loved us, he showed us by going to the cross. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Now that's love. That's the mark that we need to hit right there. Who's willing to go all the way? Who's willing to give it up? Who's willing to give it all to show love to someone else? Let's show some love today. We're going to do a little exercise. Where are you going, Jessica? She typed it up. She knew what was coming. I want everybody to turn and look at someone and say, "I love you." All right, now turn and say it to someone that you didn't come with.
Love you.
He's over there like, "I love you, bro." Trying to man it up. It don't matter how you do it, as long as you do it. That's one thing in our family is like when we call someone before we hang up, it's "I love you."
Love you, bye. We'll do it quick. Love you, bye. And then the other one says it back. Because you don't know when the last next time or if it's the last time that you're going to be able to say it.
Amen.
Don't take it for granted, because that love can run short. There's been a lot of times in my life where there's people I wish I could say I love you too again. I can't do it. They know it now. They do know that I love them. Just saying these words can be hard, because it opens you up to being hurt or let down. Loving someone is tough, because if they don't love you back, it can be painful. Anybody in here at any time in their life where you've opened up, someone said, I love you, and they just kind of smile and nod? It's painful. It hurts. I mean, you open yourself up to someone and they shoot you down, or they make fun of you. It's hard. That's why we don't do it. But that's not what we should be doing. Jesus was hurt. He was let down on a regular basis. As Christians, we have to put ourselves out there. Don't be scared. Oakland says it. Don't be a scared to do it. Show love. Stand in the gap. Because that's what we're called to do. As Christians, we're called to stand in the gap and show love. To be there for those that don't feel love. When they're all alone, just a hi or shake their hand, a hug, lets them know that they're loved. And it makes all the difference in the world. Makes it all the difference to them. I know when I first started coming here, when I walked through that front door and worked my way into the sanctuary, mind you, I was trying to move quick and get to my seat. But I was stopped at least 3 times before I could get in here by different people that said hi, welcome. They showed love. They went out of their way to make a point. They could have come in here and sat down and done that. The same thing that I was trying to do. But I wasn't a Christian then. I was just trying to come in here and put my time in and on Father's Day and go home and go back to doing what I was used to doing. When someone walks through the door, through the front door, and no one shows them love, what are the odds they will ever come back? We're not only letting them down, we're letting God down. God has called us to reach these people and bring them in. And if we're unloving, grumpy old people when they walk through that front door, then we're slowing down God's work. We're getting in the way of God's work. We're stopping it from happening. By not doing what God's called us to do, we're hindering what He can do. Because He's trying to do it through us. And if there's one thing I found, that when God wants to do something through you and you refuse to do it, He will find someone to do it. And He will bless them.
That's right.
So we've got to make sure that we're putting ourselves out there and reaching these people that are coming through that front door. Because it might be the last time that you see them. It might be the last time that they walk this earth. It might be the last time that they have the opportunity to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior.
That's right.
And all because we're stayed up too late watching football the night before. I'm grumpy and I'm tired. I'm telling on myself. You know, whatever the excuse is, the outcome is always the same. We got to maintain what God has set in front of us. We have to do. We have to be there. We have to be working. You don't have to be an usher. You don't have to be the person that, the greeter. I knew I could do it. You don't have to be a greeter to look at someone when they walk through the front door and say, hi, good morning, how are you today? We have jobs because we have intentionally put ourselves there. But it's all of our job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not just the usher's job. It's just not the greeter's job. It's not just pastor's job. Pastor's job is to get up here and read the word and lead them to Christ. It's our job to make them feel more comfortable to come in here and sit down and not run out that door like their head's on fire. That's how important it is to show love. It's so important that we reach these people. You don't know who's sitting next to you today that might be struggling and need that. You don't know who's thinking about this might be the last time that I come in this church. That's how important it is. Don't be the reason why someone else, don't be the excuse why someone else doesn't come back. Or someone doesn't accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yes. I don't want to be a stumbling block.
Yes.
That is the last thing that I ever want to be, is a stumbling block for someone else that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. The best way of working on our relationship with God is getting closer to Him, moving every day, opening up to Him more every day, putting ourselves out there for Him, and being in tune with the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's the last part of that. It can be tough. Being in tune with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Where do you think you get led from? Where do you think God is telling you? What voice is God telling you with? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what helps to move you, to speak to you. It's God saying, go. It's God saying, do. It's God saying, be. And if you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, then how are you going to hear Him say, go? You're not. And you're going to miss out. And that person that needed you that day, they missed out. In Galatians 5:22-25, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Who here can be all those things? We all can. God's called us to be. God gives us the power to be. God gives us the want to be. He wants us to show love. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be peaceful. Lord, help me. He wants us to be patient. Because I wasn't very patient leaving here today. He wants us to show kindness, goodness. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be gentle. He wants us to have self-control. Where are you at in your Christian walk today? Are you hitting the mark today? Are you doing what God's calling you to do? Are you going where God's calling you to go? Are you being the person God's calling you to be? Because if you're not working on all of these, you're not. Like I said before, if you don't love someone, you hate someone. The Bible is very clear. It's good or bad. There's no in-between. Matter of fact, Jesus hates in between. He doesn't like people straddling the fence. If we're not doing these things, it also reflects how our earthly relationships should look. How are your relationships? And I'm going to tell you what, if you're all these things to your wife or your husband, your relationship's going to be a whole lot better. You're going to be a whole lot happier, I promise you that. And I'm working on that. If we're genuine and show brotherly affection and not slothful in zeal, we'll move closer to one another. If we're genuine and show brotherly affection, not slothful in zeal. Wow, slothful in zeal. That really stuck out to me when I was studying. Because how many times have you quenched the Spirit holding back when you could be moving forward, being slothful? Have you ever seen one? People say they're cute. I think they're kind of they got great big fingernails. and they move slow. I don't like slow moving things. It's not good to be slothful in your zeal because you're holding back. You're holding back from what God wants you to do. And He wants you to be excited. When was the last time you was excited to be a Christian? When was the last time you was excited to go down and teach your Sunday school class? When was the last time you was excited to go to church? When was the last time you was excited to go to work and show Christ through you? It's hard. I'm not going to stand up here and say that I can do it every single day, but I strive. I strive for it. I try to move forward. I try to reach that goal. I try to hit the mark. Jesus Christ came to this earth and He paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. He took everything. He took the sin, the blame, and the shame, put it all on His own shoulders. He accepted that for us. Why can't we accept that for someone else? Why can't we help someone else with that? Instead of pointing and saying, "Hey sister, do you see what she was wearing today? She'll be wearing that." That ain't helping nobody. That ain't helping anybody. If we can't be loving in church, what good are we? What good are we doing if we can't be loving in church? If we can't show love here, we sure are not going to show love out in that world. And that's where we've been called to show love, is out in that world. This is where we come to get charged up, built up, and strengthened up. This is not where we just come to relax and sit in the air conditioning and get your morning nap.
That's right.
This is where we're called to be built up and strengthened up so we can go out in the world to show love to one another, to show love to the people that don't deserve it because we didn't either.
Amen.
None of us deserved it, but He still showed it. He paid the ultimate price for us so that we could be saved. What sacrifices are you making for those that don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior today? What are you, sacrifices are you going to make this week for people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? When an opportunity comes up and you say, "Next time." Or, my favorite, when not so many people's around. You know, God opens the door for you at that point. That's when He wants you to work.
That's right.
It's not later. It's like, "I'll call Him tonight." Mm-hmm. It's right then. Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to do that at work. And I'll be honest with you, I could get in trouble. Because I'm not working. I'm not doing what they're telling me to do. I'm not getting stuff done if I'm talking to someone about Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'd do it anyway. You know what? If I get fired for doing it, God's got a better plan than me. He's got something else. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone and reach out to whoever needs touched. That's what we're here for. When you come to church, get built up, and you have that energy when you're going out into the world. I went to a church one time and they had a sign above the door on the way out. And it said "work zone" across the door. That's where the work starts when we walk out of here. The work won't start here. This is where we come to learn how to be better and to do the work. This is our on-the-job training. This is not... Coming to church is not what we're called to do. We're called to witness and lead the lost. You know, I had a friend tell me one time that there should be no distance between friends. It's true. But I want to add a little something to that. There should be no distance between us and God. If you can't be friendly and nice to the person next to you, then and be close to God, what good are we doing? Why are we even here? If we can't love people, then we might as well shut the door and go do it somewhere else. I'm saying that this church doesn't show love. This is the most loving church that I have ever seen in my life.
Amen.
I'm talking about when you're walking out that door and get out the world.
Yes.
That's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, and it's not something you're going to be able to do every day. You got to strive for it. If you don't try, you ain't never gonna. Jesus Christ came to this world so that we may be saved again, so that we may have another option than hell. That's what we deserve. Do you know anybody that's in that position tonight? That one that's hard to love? God loves them. The one that you're mad at? A grudge. You got a grudge? Do you know what that grudge does? It only hurts you. It don't hurt them. And half the time they don't even remember what made you mad. I held a grudge for a long time. Then later on in life, I always thought of that. That one thing, that one time. Then I came across that person once and they didn't even remember it. So who did I hurt? I hurt me. I didn't hurt them. They didn't even remember what happened. They had no clue. For holding grudges, we can't love. We can't be the person that God's called us to be. You're angry all the time. It's hard to show love. You walk around grumpy looking like you got weaned on pickle juice. It's hard to show love. I steal that from Pastor every now and then. You don't mind. But it's hard to show love when you're not happy. And as Christians, we should be happy. We should be joyful. We should be cheerful. But yet, there's a lot of times we're not. We let life get us down. We let the things in this world slow us down, weigh us down. Instead of going to the foot of the cross, asking Jesus Christ to take that away from me, yes, and walk away without it. How many times have you come up to this altar right here, prayed for something, and take it back to the seat with you? I know I have. It's because I wasn't trusting. I didn't trust Him to do it. Oh, I wanted help, but I didn't trust Him to take care of the problem, so I took it back with me so I could work on it myself. He loves us. He'll take care of us. He'll make a way. He's got our back. There's nothing that He won't do, and nothing that is impossible to do will step out and take care of you with. If you need it, He's there. If you need saved, He's there. Man, and trust. Trust is a hard thing. Because without trust, it's hard to love. You got to trust that God's going to give you the ability to do what He's called you to do and be the person that He's called you to be. So tonight, I want to give an opportunity for everybody on your altar call. And if you're having any issues, you don't feel love, come to this altar. And when you leave this altar, I want you to leave that issue right where it is. The janitor will clean that up later. It's important. Don't wait for tomorrow. What Pastor say in his sermon today? One more night with the frogs? You want to spend one more night with the frogs? Do it. The only one you hurt is you and your family. I love when his sermons mix in with mine. It makes me feel like I'm going in the right direction. So tonight I want to give you the opportunity to come up here and pray. I guarantee there will be someone that will pray with you. I don't care what the issue is, the circumstance, ain't nothing too big for our Lord and Savior. So let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. Father God, we thank You for this word. Father God, I ask You to build us up and strengthen us up. Help us to be the loving flock that You've called us to be, Father God. Help us to reach those that are lost. Father God, give us the courage, strength, and ability to be the people You've called us to be, Father. Through You, I can do anything, Father God. Through You, I can be anything. Father God, I'm asking You just move in a mighty way tonight. Lord, I ask You just to touch those that have a need, Father. And I ask You just to build us up And go with us as we go out the rest of this week, Father God. I ask you just to encourage us. I pray the Holy Spirit leads us and teaches us and opens doors so that we may reach those that are lost and undone, Father God. Without you, we have nothing. Without you, they have nothing, Father. Lord, I ask you just to use us as a tool and a vessel, Father God. Lord, let your light shine through our broken vessels. Let your love shine through us in our everyday walk. In your name.